So let's read these verses again, the commandment which we're studying. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien or foreigner within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So these commandments are our duty to God, what we owe our Maker. They're also how we can know that we are sinners. Most people don't like to be told that. Well, you're a sinner. But that's not really an accusation, as if this person's a sinner and this person's not a sinner. No. These commandments show us that all the children of Adam are all sinners like Adam, and that we all need Jesus Christ. Now, in the first commandment, we saw that there is one true and living God, that our great duty is to worship him as God, our God. In the second commandment, we saw that as we worship him, it must be according to his word alone. We are not free to make our own way to come to God, make our own images and imaginations, but we worship God his way. In the third commandment, 2 weeks ago, we saw the heart of worship. The heart of worship is the great and holy name of God, that we honour his name. Think of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name. That is the heart of true worship, that we desire the glorifying of God. Now in the fourth commandment, we learn God's laws of time. And we learn in particular how we are to worship him with our time and the division he has made in time, and how God has given us the week and God has ordered the week in a particular way. Now, before we go further, ask, are you a true worshipper of God? Is the glory of God your desire and your goal? Is God really your God in heart and mind and body and soul? Is the greatness of his name your vision, your delight, your hope, your satisfaction? I got three things to say as we look at this commandment. If you've got the sheet that's been given, you'll see them there. And the first is God's world. This is really the foundation of the commandments. Whose world are we living in? It is God's world. Where has everything come from? It has all come out of the mind of God. It has all come out of the mouth of God as he has spoken and created it. Maybe when you were born, you wondered, where did all this come from? As you grew up, I hope you realized it's all here because God made it. It's not just been here forever, but one day or one time God spoke and he made it. That's there in verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. All things that are, everything that has ever been, everything that will be, is here by the will of God. It is his. Space and time and everything. So God has an absolute right. He is an absolute ruler. Everything is his. We say he is sovereign. Maybe you've seen a potter working at the potter's wheel. Now we have a school called the Potter's House along here, don't we? And he shapes it with his hands. He makes it as he pleases. And if he decides, no, this is a bad pot, then he throws it away and destroys it. Or if he says, no, I'm going to change the shape, I'm going to make it something else. And can the pot say to the potter, don't make me this way? make me a different way? Can it say, you can't break me, I have rights? It can't, it has no rights. You see your son, he's got some bits of wood and a hammer maybe, and he's making something. And later he can break it. And it was his, and he does what he wants with it. Are you living as if this world is yours or God's? Do you know you've come into God's house? I don't just mean the church on Sunday, but I mean this whole world. That you've come into God's house. And are you living that way? God is not absent. He has given us commands. He uses his rights to tell us what to do. We cannot play games with the true and living God. God can give any command he pleases. If God chose to tell us how to use every minute of every day, then he could. If you hire a home help and you pay her, let's say you pay her for 10 hours a day, then in those 10 hours she must do what you want, even though she's just a human being like you are. But if God has made you, he can tell you every moment. He has rights over our time. He made the sun, he made the moon, so we know when the days come and go and the months come and go. Are we using our time the way God tells us? So it's God's world. That's the foundation of the commandment. Kitucha Kwanzaa. God's day. That's what the command's about, isn't it? We say God's command or God's day. What does the command actually say? It tells us there are 6 days for our works and 1 day for resting in God, resting together with God. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. It's a weekly pattern that God has given us. And it, first of all, has 6 days of work. Work. God did not make us to be lazy, to be idle. I know that some people think that work is part of the curse, that we work because this world is cursed. But that's not the teaching of the Bible. Think of Adam. He was sinless. He was in the perfect world. He was in the garden and God gave him work. God said, look after this garden, care for it, develop it, grow it. Let it be a place where my beauty and my glory can be seen. It is before sin that God said to man in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, he said to the man and woman, and he blessed them and said, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves on the ground. Now that was work. You can't subdue the earth and rule over it and everything in it without a lot of work. Man was to bring the earth into order and to develop it, to find all the wonderful things in it and to use them and to grow them so that God would be praised. God worked for 6 days and then he entered rest and he said to man, now you are to follow my pattern. You are to work also. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, he worked as a carpenter. He was maybe around 20 years, maybe a little less than that. He was working, probably in the shop of his father Joseph, well, his adopted father Joseph, for some years, working with his hands. Interesting, actually, he wasn't a man in an office behind a desk. He wasn't the head of a company. He wasn't a principal or a president, but he humbly worked with his hands, with wood. Work is not part of the curse. Work is a blessing. Laziness is a curse. Now, we all have different gifts. We all have different situations. The command does not say you all go and do paid work. It doesn't say you all have to go and get some employment. Some of us are called as wives or mothers. Some are called into business, or some into working at studying so they can get their qualifications. Right? It doesn't say go and get a salary for 6 days, but it's saying use your opportunities, use your gifts. God has opened doors. Try to go through them. Try to develop what you have for the glory of God. Have you found out what you can do in this life? What are the things you enjoy doing and that you can serve others, serve God in doing? How can you develop this world that we live in? Now, the part we all do is very small. There are so many hundreds of millions of people in this world. God, though, gives us each our little place. It may be small, but as we all learn to grow together by the grace of Jesus, we will do the work God has given us. Rest has no meaning without work. There is no true rest without true work. If I do nothing in the week and come to Sunday, then I can't rest. I feel restless. I think I've been lazy. I've done nothing. My garden needs some work. My home needs some work. How can I rest today? Because I did nothing this week. But God says then after those 6 days of work, we are to rest. The word Sabbath means rest. It means a ceasing, a stopping. That is what the word means. And the teaching is that we now put aside our works, put aside our things, and we give our hearts and minds fully to God, and we enter into his rest. We join with him. God made the world in 6 days, and then he finished it. And he was delighted. He was really happy. His work was so wonderful. He looked at it and he rejoiced. And after we have done something with our week, we then sit back, we fellowship together with God, and we rejoice at the works that we can see. God's works in the world, and hopefully what he's helped us to do in that world. So, the Sabbath day is to be a day of happiness, of delight, a day together with God. That's why we come and worship on the Lord's Day, because it is God's day. It is the day when we especially draw near to him. It should be a day of prayer. It can be a day of serving him in different ways. Maybe you can go and visit the sick or the poor. You can join in the service of the Lord. We have the Sunday school on this day. It's to be a day of joy and delight. If I read from the prophet Isaiah, prophet Isaiah chapter 58, and verse 13. Listen to this and hear how God says we should enjoy this day. It says, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath, from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, if you honor it by not going your own way, not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land, to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So God says, if we leave aside our business and come together with him on this day, leave aside your talk of your things of the week, set your heart on God and seek him, then he will give you great joy and delight. You will feast on his inheritance. Unsaved people know nothing of this. If you're an unsaved person, you think a whole day for God is far too long. An unsaved person thinks that is painful. How can I give a whole day every week to the things of God? Oh, if you knew what it is to rest together with God, if you knew what it is to delight in God and his works, Jesus can show you these things. Repent of a godless life. Repent of going your own way. rest together with God through Jesus. Now, when the world began, the Sabbath was the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday. That's how it stayed until the time that Jesus came. But after Jesus rose from the dead, the Sabbath day, in the New Testament, it's now called the Lord's Day because of Jesus, the Lord. But after Jesus rose from the dead, it became the first day of the week. So Jesus rose from the dead the first day of the week. He showed himself to his disciples the first day of the week. When we read of the church meeting and breaking bread, for example, in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it's on the first day of the week. We never read in the New Testament about the seventh day. It tells us nothing special about that day. But we keep reading about what happened on the first day of the week. The day of Pentecost was the first day of the week because it was the 50th day from the resurrection, which means that it was again a Sunday. This is the day that God has shown us because Jesus has done a new work. Jesus has brought in a new world, forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. This is the day that the Lord has made, the day when Christ rose from the dead. So, what are we commanded to do? We rest from all our works. That means you have to use the week well, so all your work is finished. When Saturday evening comes, you can say, we leave that now, it's done. So you prepare for it. Now on this day, we seek God. Times of prayer, times with our family, times to teach others, time to do good works. Come together to hear the word of God. Come together to worship, read good Christian books. There are many things you can use this day for. But use it for the things of God. Now, this command, who's it for? The answer's in verse 10. It's written for you, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your animals, even the stranger. It's a command for everyone. We are all equal in the sight of God as human beings. And he gives his Sabbath to all of us. We all need it, and it is a right for every person. Nobody has the right to deny a day of rest, not even to their animals. You see, the commandment's written to the head of a household, isn't it? It's written to the person. He may be tempted to say to his house girl, today you work, or to his gardener, you must work on that Sunday. And so God writes the command, especially to him, to tell him he must not do that. God gives rest even to the animals. Terrible that some people treat human beings worse than God would treat the animals. God says, let the animals rest from their work. And yet, I hear even pastors send their housegirls and gardeners to work on the Sabbath day. Do you treat people worse than God wants you to treat animals? God has given every person this Sabbath. It's not for man to take it away. Of course, this command needs us to have faith, doesn't it? Because somebody will say, well, I have too much to do. So it needs us to trust God. Because someone will say, oh, but this Sunday, I've got some important business. Or there's some fundraising meeting. There's some family business meeting. Or I haven't finished a job for a customer. And I really must go and do it. It's a matter of faith. Is God really God? Will he take care of his people? Does the Father take care of his children? Or will he leave them to perish and to suffer and to be lost? Is he God? Is he really the Savior or not? Is he faithful? Or do you need to find some way to deal with God not being faithful and God not being reliable and you have to do something of your own because you can't rely on him? Is he God? And that's all there is to it. Every time the temptation comes, oh, I must do this today, even if it's God's day. That's the answer. Is he God? And will he take care of you? Will he honor you when you honor him? Or won't he? Well, finally, let's think of God's Son. God's world, God's day, and God's Son. Because the Sabbath is about rest. Rest with God. But that rest, we do not find it in this world fully. The promise is unfulfilled because of sin. Sin has spoilt this creation. It makes us restless. We can't find the true satisfaction in this life. And here below, God says, there is no rest for the wicked. Think of the sea tossing up. Don't know if you've ever seen the sea, but when it gets stormy, up comes all the foam and the waves. If there's something on the sea, it's getting thrown about this way and that. One of the prophets said, that's how the wicked are. There's no rest for the wicked. So in this creation, there is sin, and we can't find the true rest here. When Joshua led the Israelites into the land, he led them into Canaan, out of the slavery in Egypt. And yet they didn't enjoy the perfect rest there either. Again, sin spoilt it. There were enemies in the land, and God punished his people, and he left them with problems because of their disobedience. Even in King David's day, when he defeated the enemies, yet he wrote a psalm, and he wrote that he was still longing for rest, that the people of God still wanted the true rest to be brought in. At Psalm 95, it's mentioned on your sheet. Maybe you'll be able to read it later. But the great rest has now come because God's Son has come. Jesus has taken the whole load of sin upon him at the cross. All the misery, all the anger, all the judgment which comes because of sin has been placed on Jesus. And Jesus has come and done the great work to deal with sin. He says God made a perfect world at the beginning and then rested. Jesus has done the great work of dying for sins, of paying the price. And what did he cry out when he had completed that on the cross? He cried out in a loud voice, "It is finished." And then he entered into his rest. A short rest in the grave, and then the eternal rest when he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. Jesus has brought in a new world. There's new life for believers. There's complete forgiveness of sins, a free gift to everyone who believes, and a promise of a new heavens and a new earth that we will live in with him, and where we will see God. We will see him face to face. And we will rest together with him forever. We'll have perfect delight in him forever because of what Jesus has done. So you see, the true Sabbath rest is found in Christ. We enjoy just a shadow of it now. You look at the shadow, but it's not the real thing. You need to look up to see the real thing, to see the color, to see the fullness. It's found in Jesus Christ. At Jesus, one day he said, he cried out these words. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." Are you weary and burdened? Is it hard to be unsaved, to not know God, to be carrying your sin with you, to be carrying it down and down until you arrive in the pit, unforgiven? Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." When you become the servant of Jesus Christ, it's a wonderful service. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. When you become the disciples of the Son of God, oh yes, he has many teachings to give you and many things for you to change and learn. But it's good. It's delightful to walk at last in the way of God with his strength, with his help. So Jesus says, rest with me. You can't work and labor your way into heaven. You can't earn it. You'll never rest that way. There's always more to do. You've never kept God's law completely. You're always falling short in some way, somewhere. And you'll just labor and labor and labor, and the load on your back gets heavier and heavier and heavier. But if you just come to Jesus, if you just trust him, just stop trying to earn your own way to heaven and just trust Jesus instead. And Jesus says, I give you rest. Not I pay you with rest, but I give you rest. So Jesus now is enjoying the eternal Sabbath of heaven, of glory. Jesus is there now. Those who believe can enjoy it today and enjoy it fully forever. So come to him. Let him indeed give you rest.